broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for July 14th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour 2 at 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. Welcome to the broadcast, and man, last hour was a barn burner. I'll get to that in just a second, but yesterday, archived, we talked about a Washington man mailed a fake bomb and a severed finger to the IRS, authorities say. Man, that IRS is out of control. Why is the GOP-led Arizona stonewalling Trump's voter fraud commission? You got to wonder why that GOP-led state of Arizona's standing in the way of getting to the bottom of vote fraud. They claim there was none. You'd think they'd be as transparent as possible to prove that, huh? Suddenly, everyone gets biblical and hot. U.S. Senate race. We're talking about Alabama. We're talking about Roy Moore. Hopefully, he'll win. But he's literally got everybody to start talking about the Bible. I pray everyone's genuine. I know Roy Moore is. We also talked about drain the scandal swamp. Fox News' Eric Bolling spills secrets on Washington, D.C., writes Greg Carambos. Great article about that. We talked about the judge in Texas, a female judge in hot water for sexting and popping pills, and it's out of control, to say the least. Now, after Beach stunt, Chris Christie literally trying to become, what, a sports radio caster? All right. Well, anyway, it's all crazy, but the revolving door continues for government bureaucrats, that's for sure. That was yesterday's broadcast, available in archive format at libertyroundtable.com. Donate and get involved today. Free radio, on demand at your fingertips. You can listen live or on demand. Now, last hour, we had our guest on, Deb Jordan, co-host of the Pete Santilli Show. She's live on the ground in Nevada, covering the retrials going on there. We also talked to our second guest, Ace Baker, American Freedom Warriors. And they got two rallies planned. One this Saturday during the day from 10 to 2. And if you go to this website, standlv.com, you can find the details. Then they got an evening rally. An evening event's planned at 6 p.m. And speakers for the event include all kinds of high-level people. Roger Stone, Michelle Fiore, Adam Kokesh, Annette Finicum, Mike Adams, Carol Bundy, Deb Jordan, Ace Baker, just to name a few. Please, if you can go to that event, do so. I cannot attend. I wish I really could. However, what we'll be doing is breaking that down with Ace Baker and others next week the best we can to keep an eye on those retrials and to get the truth out. This is critical, folks. I'm telling you, they've turned a lot of government rogue agencies into weaponized agencies against the American people. They violated the Constitution. We got to stand for liberty. TheFreedomCoalition.com, if you want to get involved in helping us push for a presidential commission to look into these innocents in prison cases, please. TheFreedomCoalition.com to help us get that done. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Kirk Crosby is with me. Welcome back, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. I've made references to how Google and Amazon and Facebook and some of these other big, gargantuan companies that are taking over the new media sphere, if you will, and controlling a lot of the online purchases on the internet and advertising. And, you know, we hear that basically between, you know, Google or YouTube and Facebook, it's pretty much most of the advertising dollars goes to this, etc. And how these people have really, in my opinion, a noose knot, if you will, around the necks of those who use Google and Facebook and some of these places to promote, because they literally control access and they control advertising dollars. And they've been attacking Alex Jones, Mike Adams, and others relentlessly, folks. Well, we have no more proof that what I'm saying is true. Why the post office gives Amazon special delivery? Believe it or not, a Citigroup analysis finds that each box delivered gets a $1.46 subsidy. It's like a gift card from Uncle Sam, Kurt. Any details on this?
Well, yeah, you've got, you know, the Wall Street Journal's got the piece, and then, you know, if you dig a little deeper, you find out where it sourced from. And the Wall Street Journal, if you're trying to read the whole thing, they want you to ante up, you know. But if you just look a little further, you can find where they got it. And, you know, they say that...
So where does it come from, though?
It's like a Postal Service support group.
So this is an example. Story. The Postal Service gives it to you for free. What's going on here? And then you got to pay the Wall Street Journal for it, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
So the taxpayers pay the first bill. And then, of course, the bill to publish it. And then the Wall Street Journal wants to charge you for their additional promotion, I guess, huh? All right.
Yeah, and this author says, like an accelerant added to a fire, this subsidy, this $1.46 subsidy for all of Amazon's packages, is speeding up the collapse of traditional retailers in the U.S. and providing an unfair advantage for Amazon. They say back in 07, the Postal Service and its regulator, you know, you always wonder about who that is, determined that at a minimum 5.5% of the agency's fixed costs must be allocated to packages and similar products. A decade later, they say around 25% of its revenue comes from packages, but their share of fixed costs has not kept pace. First-class mail effectively subsidizes the national network, and the packages get a free ride. You know, they don't mention, though, that what really subsidizes it is the tax. Well, the taxpayers, right? Because when you look at the Postal Service and their, what, $800 billion yearly loss, whatever the number is, it's just massive, isn't it?
Sam? Yeah, when you say whatever the number is, it grows all the time is the problem. It's hard to keep a finger on how much they're losing day by day. It just increases and changes and becomes more of a moral hazard every day. But the bottom line is, folks, just so you know, so these are how these big companies are taking over. You know, you kind of wonder, hey, Amazon's so predatory. How do they get this done? Well, the answer is the taxpayer, you know, helps them with their shipping. So there's two advantages. Number one, the government will pay, you know, $1.64 or whatever for every box that gets delivered. But in addition to that, though, they've had a tax advantage for a long time. The local retailer has to, you know, pay property taxes and all these things, has to pay a sales tax or, you know, collect and send along sales tax. Amazon hasn't had any of those things. So when you do that, plus provide a subsidy, no wonder Amazon can take over the world, Kurt.
Well, you're right. And, you know, lately we noticed that here in, for example, our state, Amazon made some deal with, you know, the state governments, if I remember right, that they were going to now collect sales tax, but they get a percentage of that. And, you know, they didn't want to make the agreement public, you know, as part of the whole transparency and government thing. And yet, as far as I can tell, that's also a profit center for Amazon, you know.
Yes, sir. And by the way, now you can see when they say that biblically speaking, you won't be able to buy or sell. Now you're starting to see how and why. You got these cell phones eventually or these devices. You won't be able to buy anything unless it's electronic. You got to give your thumbprint or your eye scan or your face scan or something significant to be able to connect to these things. And then pretty soon it'll be like, hey, you know what? If you don't buy it from government partner store A or B or C or D, approved retail, then, you know, how are you going to buy anything? And they're literally moving towards this at breakneck speed. I'm not really into the conspiracy theory part of it. I am into the reality, though, that they're creating a tyranny online, all subsidized, and more businesses are flat out going out of business. And so the post office giving Amazon special delivery. Literally $1.64 per box subsidized.
$1.46.
$1.46. It's like a gift card from Uncle Sam.
That's what they say, the Citigroup
$1.46.
Guys who analyze this thing. You know, and hey, we see continual shortages at the Postal Service. You know, continual need, they call it, for, you know, the taxpayer to ante up. And yet... you know, instead of closing and running it and doing it for less days so that they can maybe have less of a loss, you know, they're now shipping those Amazon packages on Sunday, you know. So it's just not exactly the way I think the Founding Fathers envisioned it. You know what I mean, Sam?
Not to say the least. Now, it gets worse, too, because they control the ads online, I've mentioned as well. Alex Jones and Mike Adams and others taking an absolute beating because a lot of their revenue is attacked by Google, tampering with words, looking for some of these companies online, etc., tampering with the ad dollars and revenue. We'll talk about that in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam and Kurt on your radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby breaking this down on online publishers. Literally are trying to reduce ads to boost revenue. They're taking a, quote, less is more approach with ads across their site, writes Jack Marshall. This is critical to understand that they're literally giving favoritism when it comes to ads and ad dollars and control of ads and availability of ads, etc., to their favorite inside people. And then they're restricting via the search engines and other technologies ads for sites like ours or Alex Jones or Mike Adams or others, Kurt. So by the time you put the post office together subsidizing these companies, then you give them tax advantages, then you give them special ad promotions and start to control the search engines, it isn't looking good for Liberty, my friend.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. And, you know, as you mentioned this article, you know, it's basically talking about what you've said for years, and that is people are looking for the less is more approach. You know, they don't want to be piled on by more and more advertisements. You know, they understand there's a certain amount that might need to be there, but it seems like in so many ways there's, you know, just massive amounts of advertisements coming at you from every angle. You know, like you've said, instead of doing, you know, 5 or 6 minute sets during the program, you do less amounts. And you know, I think people respond to that. But in these this situation where you've got, you know, the big boys, especially Google and others, basically controlling the ad dollars.
But we've been telling them less is more for a long time. The radio business finally listened a little bit, not enough, but a little bit a long time ago. Now others are starting to realize the same reality. We've been pointing this out for literally decades and will continue to do so as we set the example. We have less commercials than anybody, anywhere, anytime, bar none. LibertyNewsDaily.com doesn't have a single commercial on the website. LibertyRoundtable.com doesn't have a single commercial. We have commercials in our radio broadcasts and some things. So we have some limited sponsorships and support, but it's very minimalistic to say the least. And we really depend on the American people to help fund us. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. Get involved in every way, including financial, would you please? Greg, Utah, you're on the radio.
Yeah, Sam, I'd just like to clear something up. When a juror is removed, for whatever reason, the legal term for that is peremptory challenge. So they can be removed no matter what the reason. So that's the legal term for that. The other thing is, anyone who is associated, any person associated with the government, they should not be in the jury pool because their allegiance is to the government. And also, they have the mindset that whether the law be good or bad, that the law has to be enforced or upheld. So that's the problem.
You're right about that, and especially in a case where we know that people are critical of the government. If you have somebody that works for and or worked for the government, they have a bias against those people's views.
Exactly.
They're not peers at all.
Go ahead, Sam. Sorry.
I was saying they're not peers at all. They're supposed to be a jury of peers. If I, for example, believe the IRS is criminal and they ought to be shut down, which I do, by the way. I'm not backing away from that. I think they're criminal and ought to be shut down. They're a rogue, weaponized government agency, all right? Okay, so if there's an IRS trial about me, having some people that used to work for the IRS or work in government knowing my views on that, they're not my peers. My peers are people who have fairly assessed this.
Those circumstances.
That's right.
Peers means of equal standing to oneself. So if you're a farmer, you want farmers on the jury. If you're a laborer, you want laborers on the jury. And so you don't want professional people or government people or whatever, because the odds of prevailing under those circumstances is nil, you know. So the jury is more or less stacked against you. I was going to ask you this question. So concerning what's going on in Vegas, does the verdict have to be unanimous or is it majority?
I think it's majority. At least that's the way it ought to be and the way it's supposed to be. But I know this. They manipulate these at the last seconds.
It shouldn't be majority. It should be unanimous.
Well, hold on.
It used to be. Yeah.
Hold on. Here's the problem. Right now, I think that they're going to have a majority. I agree with you that it should be unanimous, but I think majority is the way they're going. I don't know. We can ask some of these guys and get to the bottom of some details. Yeah. But I think it should be unanimous as well. And the reason why is one person can say, look, I'm not comfortable with this, and be a fully informed juror and stop abuses. That's why people are supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And if one person isn't convinced, that used to be the standard today, but now they've changed the standards to these majorities.
You know, that's the way it was with the Cosby thing just lately. There was, I think, a full 12 people, and one or two of them didn't feel comfortable about going ahead.
Yeah, but instead of letting it go, though, all they did was declare a mistrial, basically, and they're going to retry him, a double jeopardy reality.
Oh, they are on Cosby. Okay, good.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's,
even if one or two jurors decide that the person on trial is not guilty, there should not be another trial. The trial is over, period. It's done with. But they want, the government wants to get their man. That's how
That's right. And understand, this is already a retrial, just so you know.
Yeah. And the thing is, you read in the Book of Mormon and in the Book of Ether that judges and lawyers have corrupted the laws. They have corrupted the land. So you're faced with that. So most judges are incompetent by constitutional standards. They're not qualified to act in the capacity of a judge or a judicial officer. And they have contempt for the Constitution. And these are the kind of people that you're dealing with. The prosecutors, they have that same mindset. So it's very difficult to prevail in a court, especially a federal court.
Well, there you have it.
I agree
with you, Greg. It's a serious concern.
Yeah. It's just it's amazing that you found one or two jurors in the last trial that they were of the mindset that they should not be convicted. But when you have five people on that jury, on the jury, who work for the government or correction officers, that's unbelievable. That should not happen.
Well, and that's why the freedomcoalition.com, we have an effort to get this stuff in front of the president, to create a presidential commission to dig into these cases. These judges need to be flat-out impeached, sir.
Yeah. It's going to be difficult because the whole system is corrupt, debased, and perverted. And the government, the federal government, it can't be corrected. You can't change it. It's not going to get any better. Not to be the bearer of bad news, but the federal government is hopeless. And the combinations have absolute and complete control of the federal government. So that's what we're up against.
I wouldn't call it hopeless, because we know the flag will be blown in the breeze when the Savior Jesus Christ comes. But I will agree, it's a very tough road to hoe, and it doesn't look good. Well, it's not a fun battle, that's for sure.
I will say this, that the only way we're going to prevail is through patriots like yourself and Kurt, and because of divine intervention in the priesthood, we will prevail. But the cost is going to be very high. There's going to be a high price to pay. But in the end, everything will work out in our favor.
That's right. And that's why I say it's not hopeless. I agree that it looks that way and feels that way. I understand. But I'm going to just keep doing my part, and that's all I can do, nevertheless. Thanks, Greg.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there he goes, Kurt. I think he's got some important input on that about the juries. What I'm saying is that I think that it should be, and I probably misspoke. My words didn't come out right, responding to Greg. I think that they're going to do a majority. But I agree with Greg that, you know what, it should be all 12. And if one or two hang the jury, that's the way it's intended, to protect people from these abuses that are going on. All it'll take is one or two educated people, fully informed jury style, to say, wait a minute, you haven't proven guilt to my satisfaction. I'm judging the law here, and this is wrong. That's what ought to happen. So anyway, I don't know exactly how my words came out right, but what I meant to say was I think that they're going to do the majority thing. If they don't, what they'll do is they'll play games like they did already. Hey, they know they're going to lose, so they'll just declare a mistrial and retry these people. By hook or by crook, they're going to try to get convictions, Kurt.
Well, that's pretty impressive, isn't it, Sam? You know, to see where I guess you could say depressing would be the word. But to see where we find ourselves now with the situation that we're in, and like the lady that was on, she illustrated the fact that over the, going to say reign of terror of Harry Reid, you know, in the Vegas area, in the Nevada area, it's basically put in place all the different judges. And Greg pointed out the dangerous, you know, situation we're in with those kind of people there. I mean, it illustrates the reason why America is supposed to be the type of government that we participate in. We don't leave to people like Harry Reid that we, or else we kind of get what we've got, and that's exactly where we are, huh, Sam?
Well, we talk about Google and a lot of these big companies and Amazon being on the take, and Donald's on the take, too. We'll tell you about it, ladies and gentlemen, on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land, you're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. It's a report that's becoming very common. Another American citizen has been killed by an illegal alien from Mexico who had been deported, this time 7 times, coming back again despite a criminal conviction, this time getting drunk, driving a van at speeds over 100 miles an hour on a highway in Nebraska, crashing into another vehicle. One person died, another severely hurting. A $2 million bond has been set for the offender because the prosecutor fears he might go back to Mexico. This type of thing is happening with increasing frequency. During the past 3 months, there have been numerous robberies committed by gangs of youth on the Bay Area Rapid Transit System in the San Francisco-Oakland area, those BART trains. Many of these were videotaped by surveillance systems on the trains, but BART authorities won't turn the tapes over to the police. They say such a release might cause, well, a cry of racism among passengers being victimized by teenagers. This means that in the name of political correctness, according to some, BART officials are willing to allow innocent people to be robbed. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
We taught you skip stones.
My dad.
Family. Isn't it about time?
He must be good.
Yeah, my mom taught him.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, we told you about Amazon getting a bunch of money. We've told you in the past that Google and Amazon and Facebook and all these other companies were government-sponsored, and then the favoritism they've been given by government. Well, it looks like Donald's on the gravy train too, Kurt.
Well, how's that, Sam?
Well, it looks like the State Department spent more than $15,000.
Oh, that's right.
On 20 rooms in Donald Trump's new Vancouver hotel for the opening ceremony.
Yeah,
Keith
good point.
Griffiths at the Daily Mail has the details, and turns out that the State Department booked, I guess, 19 rooms for $15,000 for Trump's Vancouver February opening. Now, that's a lot of money per room there, Kurt.
Yeah, it is, if we didn't have the DailyMail.com, which is an overseas source, I don't think you'd see this. Now, they say the rooms at the hotel start at $324 a night, up to $1,524 a night. That's on the layout of the website of the Trump Vancouver Now, it's interesting to me that the documents did reveal that four of the 19 rooms were booked for seven nights, while the remaining rooms were booked for either one or two nights. The State Department also spent about $5,000 for rooms at a nearby Hyatt Regency. You know, they're always being real careful with your tax dollars, Sam. I mean, they look for, like, Motel 6 and,
I tried to go to the Trump hotels, and I tried to go in Vegas, and I tried to go in Hawaii, and I couldn't afford any of them. I just couldn't even, I mean, all I could do is walk by that sucker.
Well, yeah, but the State Department, you know, they've got the money, Sam. You know how careful they are.
Boy, howdy. Now, if it was just the $15,000 spent, I wouldn't think too much of it. You got to stay somewhere, and why not? I mean, if I was working in government, I might say, hey, I might as well go to the Trump Hotel. That'd be kind of neat to see. I get that. But here's my problem, is when the state provides logistics, assistance to the Secret Service, and protection of the First Family, and then President Trump has earned $5 million and plus from royalties from this property. And then you find out that the president's children, Donald Jr., Eric, and Tiffany, were present at the ribbon cutting. And then you say the new report marks first evidence of State Department spending at Trump Hotel, you kind of start to say, wait a minute. This is a little different than I was thinking, Kurt.
Yeah, it just doesn't look good, Sam. As our buddy Chuck Carter would say, it doesn't really pass the smell test. But I suppose, you know, that Trump will come out and say, well, that $5 million in royalties that I earned from the operators who licensed his name, you know, he'll probably contribute that somewhere. But anyway, thank goodness, hats off to, you know, a source like the DailyMail.com, you know, real reporting.
You got to go across the pond to get it, though, don't you, Kurt?
Yes, sir. Good point.
All right. Anyway, so again, you know, it's hard to be critical because Donald would say, look, my hotel's in an area, and if they're going to come stay in an area for something, and okay, I get that too. If you're going to go to a specific area for some other legitimate governmental reason, I get that you got to stay somewhere, and why not it be the Trump Hotel? You shouldn't favor Trump's hotels, but you also shouldn't unfairly block out Trump's hotels either. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, this was the grand opening ceremony. Why do government officials need to be at the grand opening ceremony? And you'd say, well, Sam, to protect the president, by golly. Okay. Number one, I don't know if the president even needs protection. But in addition to that, to go to the grand opening ceremony, why does Trump and or any government official need to go there? Well, Sam, because it's Trump's hotel. Okay, well, see, in there lies the conflict of interest. You can say he's president now, leave his businesses to his family, but then, okay, well, all the kids are there, and Secret Service has to go there to protect the first family, and all I'm saying is you start to get into this very weird scenario, and I'm telling you right now, if Donald keeps this stuff up, folks, it will be the undoing of the president, Kurt.
Well, it's sure you can see, at least I can see the understanding of, hey, if all the children are there and that kind of things, and they've got to be protected. My problem is the way that kind of typically ends up working. We know that protection could be done, in my opinion, with a whole lot less money. But, you know, it's just the way our government does it, Sam. They're
all right.
They're
now,
not
you
that
mentioned
really careful with our spending.
You mentioned we have to go across the pond to get this information, but believe it or not, the records came from the Washington Post right here in America, Kurt.
Well, yeah, that's right. But I just didn't see it. I mean, you'd think you'd sure think something like this they'd highlight pretty heavily, because it does make the president look a little rough. On the other hand, if you really start looking at the spending of both parties and all that stuff, you find just out of control waste in government, don't you?
Yeah. Now, here's my biggest problem with the whole thing, Kurt. It's one thing to have this go on, okay? And it's bad enough. But I might get past a lot of that, Kurt. I might say, okay, look, the president can't help that he owns businesses, and, you know, you can't play favorites, but you also can't play hostility. It just happened. No big deal. But when you start to have strange details involved, I start to think differently. Let me give you an example of what I mean. It says this. Where's this part here? I got to find this. They say expense reports for the Secret Service ceremony was not available. So you don't have expense reports.
Whoops.
What gives of that, Kurt? They may include additional expenditures at the Trump Hotel as well. And so we don't even know really how much was spent, Kurt. Now they say this, specific room rates paid by the State Department were not revealed in a heavily redacted expense report obtained through a FOIA request. So here's my problem. You've got this what do you want to call it? A situation where
openness
we don't have all the numbers.
Transparent government.
Here's an example. We don't have all the numbers. They say they didn't give us all in the FOIA request. What they did give us is so heavily redacted, we don't have any information.
That's right.
And then, so when you say that, well, Sam, it's you know, new report marks first evidence of State Department spending at Trump hotels. I'm getting uncomfortable fast, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. That's a very good point, Sam.
Now they say hackers are attacking the Trump hotels too, Kurt.
Yeah, they say look out if you were there over these certain days. But, you know, I'll tell you what. It's, I guess you could say, a dangerous world out there, huh, Sam?
Boy, howdy, that's for sure. Now, what if you're not one of those rich cats getting subsidies by your government? You're just trying to make a living. Well, you don't have a job, and so I guess you take government subsidies. They're called entitlements in this case, not subsidies, though. Right, Kurt? What if you're one of those guys? There's a very different outcome for you, is there not?
Well, you're talking about this article I found that says the hidden tragedy of entitlements. You know, this, and then the subheadline, what a 12-year welfare abuser says about finding a job. This author, Kyle Becker, I think does a really good job because he says it's not compassionate for people to be in the welfare system for years at a time. America is about people bettering themselves and attaining dignity and self-respect through supporting themselves and achieving things. They go on to say that's why the story of Kiara, a 30-year-old woman with four children, is disturbing on multiple levels. Not only should taxpayers be upset with her blasé attitude about abusing the welfare system, they should feel bad for the thousands of Americans like her who are spending their lives wasting their time instead of living life to the fullest and achieving things. Young Cons points out a great quote by Ronald Reagan, quote, welfare's purpose should be to eliminate, as far as possible, the need for its own existence, end quote. And then there's a real good one by Benjamin Franklin that he brings up as well.
We'll, of course, talk about it in seconds. Sam and Kurt, news the networks refuse to use, straight ahead on your radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Getting advice from a teenager is a little unusual, but please listen to me. If you find yourself pregnant and you're scared, I've got some advice because I've been there. My boyfriend wasn't ready to be a father, and frankly, he wasn't all that interested after I told him I was pregnant. My friends told me I should keep the baby because it would be fun. Well, having a baby is about the baby. It's not about whether I have fun. Some people told me my parents would help take care of the baby, but my baby still wouldn't have both a mom and a dad of her own. And that's really important to me. After putting my feelings aside, I made the best decision I could for my baby. Not because I felt it was easy, but because I felt it was right.
Adoption. It's about love.
I didn't give my baby up. I gave her more.
A message from LDS Family Services.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So we're talking about a story called The Hidden Tragedy of Entitlements. What a 12-year welfare abuser says about finding a job. Stories by Kyle Becker. It's an old story, though. It's like 3 years old. What's interesting about this piece is it's as relevant today as it was then, huh, Kurt?
Yeah, or more, you could say, at least in my opinion.
Good point.
We've got even more welfare.
He was before, too, I guess. Sorry about that.
Well, yeah, you got more welfare for everybody. This guy quotes Ben Franklin, and he says, talking about this whole welfare thing, he says, "I'm for doing good to the poor, but I think the best way of doing good to the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading or driving them out of it. I observed that the more public provisions were made for the poor, the less they provided for themselves, and of course became poorer. And on the contrary, the less was done for them, the more they did for themselves and became richer." Final paragraph from this guy writing this article. "People cannot be empowered when they are on welfare. What is needed is more opportunity, and that's where the federal and state governments can come in." I would maybe disagree and say they should step away and let, you know, private entities do that. Says governments should stop penalizing. Now this part's right, I think. Yeah, should stop penalizing successful businesses, eliminate burdensome and unnecessary regulations, and let people work and lead their own lives.
I support that 1,000%. But then it says, but hey, this is where the state can make a difference, right?
Well, that's before that.
And the best way the state can make a difference is to get out of the way and let the churches and the private organizations do that.
That's exactly right.
I mean, just got to tell you the solutions, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, great job, Kyle Becker. Again, the story, as Kurt says, is just as relevant, if not even more so, than when it was written. All right, I guess we're losing more people to the suites than we are to the streets. Kurt?
I thought it was Caitlin an interesting Dewey? Story, Sam. And, you know, you remember back a few years when the cigarette makers were basically, they got taken on by the lawyers and the big groups, and they're pretty much, they're not out of business. They still sell smokes quite a bit, but all the things are labeled that they'll kill you or whatever. You're going to see, I think, in the future, you're going to see Coca-Cola and maybe, and I'm sure Pepsi, etc. They're going to have to put how dangerous their product is. I guess now William Lamar, he's a senior pastor of D.C.'s historic Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Church. Now, that's a big bunch of words that you could say. He says he's tired of presiding over funerals for parishioners who died of heart disease, diabetes, and stroke. So what did he do about it? Well, he and another prominent African-American pastor have now filed suit against Coca-Cola and the American Beverage Association, ABA for short, by the way, claiming soda manufacturers knowingly deceived customers about the health risks of sugar-sweetened beverages at, they say, enormous cost to their communities. Now, they filed this complaint. And, I think it's probably going to have legs, Sam. Now, they say that who drinks the most soda? They say, well, it's, you know, folks that are kind of down on their luck. And they say it's typically people of color, you know. And they include the Latinos with the blacks as well. They even say, according to the complaint, Coca-Cola executives have invested millions of dollars in research, sponsored blog posts, and advertising campaigns intended to disprove or confuse the link between soda consumption and disease. The company's ads and its executives, as well as a number of compensated nutrition bloggers, that means people you pay to say certain things, kind of like Congress, have also advanced the argument that lack of exercise is primarily responsible for the obesity epidemic, and that the calories consumed in soda can easily be offset by increasing physical activity.
See, I disagree with all this.
What's that? What part do you disagree with?
That exercise is the way to lose weight, and that, you know.
Yeah, well, I
know. That exercise can get rid of all the excess calories that you have from eating. It's not even close to true. You can exercise 24/7.
But that's what they were pushing.
I know, and I say I don't believe that.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's why they pushed it. And these guys say back in 2013, Coca-Cola developed a 30-second primetime TV ad called Be Okay that claimed a brief walk, a single victory dance, or a brief laughing spell were sufficient to burn the 140 calories in a Coke can.
See, and that's a big old lie. Now, I'm not saying that exercise doesn't do you good. I think exercise does you plenty, and I'm not downing exercise. Okay, I think exercise is needful and good and healthy and everything else, and I encourage it. I need to do more of it, but I encourage it. What I'm saying, though, is this idea that you can exercise away your excess eating or your eating of wrong things is just false, Kurt.
Good point, Sam. But anyway, it's interesting to me now. There's going to be a racial component, too, because the executives that manage all this,
Kurt, are white, I'm sure, and the black people are getting abused by drinking pop, and so...
Well, that's right. That
racial component's going to come out now.
That's exactly right, don't you think?
Not probably, but I mean, it's just whacked out.
You can see it.
All right, I guess Kellyanne Conway's in the news, Kurt. She's now kind of pulled a page out of the playbook of what was that guy's name back in the day? The Clinton.
Ross Perot.
Yeah, he's doing like a Ross Perot thing on the TV there.
That's right.
What was it on the Hannity show?
I thought it was kind of cool. Yeah. So what you see is, you know, you've heard this word collusion, right, Sam? That they've been using for big time for a long time.
Yeah.
And they say she started to resort to using props. And so what she did was. When she was on Hannity, she had two sheets of paper. She pulled them, they say, seemingly out of nowhere, and held them up for Fox News viewers to see. Conway winked to the camera as she said, "This is to help the people at home. What's the conclusion? Collusion. No, we don't have that yet."
I think she's wrong, though, Kurt. I think we have collusion.
Well... Okay, go ahead, Sam.
But keep going first, and then I'll get to it.
Anyway, it says, Conway said he made Sean Hannity laugh as she crossed out the word collusion in reference to Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with a Russian lawyer last summer. And then she said, "I see illusion and delusion," she continued, pulling out her second piece of paper. "So just so we're clear, everyone, four words, conclusion, collusion, no, illusion, delusion. Yes, I just thought we'd have some fun with words. I'm going to buy," Hannity said, "I'm going to buy you a whiteboard." Anyway, I just thought it was kind of a fun little
It's kind of fun, but I think we have collusion going on, though. Seth Rich was going to expose it. They murdered him. And
that's
the problem is
point.
They're just basically, there's collusion. They're just pointing to the wrong people for the collusion, Kurt. And what
that's
they're doing
exactly
is they're
right.
playing games with who's who and everything else. There's collusion between the IRS and Congress to attack their political opponents. There's collusion between all kinds of rogue weaponized government agencies against the people. There, you know, we go on and on and on, Kurt, and you're seeing it because they voted 40 plus times to get rid of Obamacare back in the day. Now there's collusion to stop that. See, there's plenty
of
collusion.
That's a perfect example. Yeah, good job.
I mean, there's collusion, especially when the federal government through the BATF and the Justice Department, when those guys created the Fast and Furious sell guns across the border plan to criminals, Kurt. There was collusion in that, wasn't there? And conspiracy and everything else.
Well, yeah. Or there's collusion with Harry Reid picking the attorney or the judges.
Great point.
Getting all that kind
Perfect
of stuff.
Point.
I mean, you know, there's just a whole lot of collusion.
So, Kelly, I get your point that there's not collusion between Donald and the Russians, probably, and that the meeting that Donald Trump Jr. Had nothing to do with this. You know, they're just calling it opposition research, and I understand that. But there's plenty of collusion going on in government, so you don't want to dispel the word. What you want to do is associate the word to the right people, follow the money trail. There's collusion when Wachovia Bank, for example, was money laundering for drug cartels. Okay, don't tell me there's not collusion. We've exposed it on this broadcast for 25-plus years. So, Kellyanne, I appreciate your point, But you got to be very careful because you're derailing the whole reality. There's plenty of collusion going on. That's why Ramos and Campion were in prison and George Bush was running around free. That's why Hillary Clinton's free today.
Yeah, a lot of collusion between Lynch and Clinton.
Bill.
Huh?
Yeah, good point. And it might be collusion of a non-sexual nature for once.
Great point.
All right, older Americans. No, let's go to this one. Seattle creates local income tax. Is that collusion, Kurt?
Well, they say they're doing it so that, you know, all those rich cats don't get, you know, so, well, they just don't get such a free
wouldn't want to get
ride.
Those folks to get away with something, you know.
But I'm telling you, man, all they got to do is do stuff like this, and then you see those rich cats head out of town, right, Sam?
For sure. So I find that interesting, though. Any other tidbits on that, though? They're literally putting what?
It's a Liberty News Daily
an extra
piece.
Tax, Kurt?
They say 11,000 people might be affected by the new law. But the bottom line is when they do this, they're going to get rid of those people that pay those wages that they want to force people to pay that $15 an hour minimum wage up there, aren't they?
Yes, but I think that the number of people they say will be negatively or affected by this, I think they're minimalistically talking about that. Now, I don't mean to mock this term, but you got this trickle-down economics kind of situation, Kurt, where when you start affecting these big business people, they're just not going to be as likely or willing to hire people and everything else, and the repercussions are way beyond what they're admitting here.
Well, that's exactly right, and they head to other places. It's just like when a business raises their prices. You know, if a company, as long as there's another place to go, well, what do people do? They go to the lower price place. If a city, like in this case, Seattle, raises the price for rich people, they're going to go somewhere else. Those people just don't seem to understand this basic principle, do they?
Well, they'll get it after the fact. When job losses skyrocket, when people are melting down everywhere, they'll start to get it. But again, they're the insiders. They'll just isolate themselves from it and not seem to care. But we stand for the truth. We stand for solutions. Learn about the rally, ladies and gentlemen, if you will, please. It's going on this Saturday. There's two of them in Las Vegas. Okay? StandLV.com to learn more about that. Stand Las Vegas is what it is. StandLV.com. We need to support good, honest people everywhere, folks. We need your financial support to do so. Liberty Roundtable at libertyroundtable.com is the website, or my email address, libertyroundtable@gmail.com. Would love your support in every way, including financial. We declare this nation shall endure.